We are halfway through our summer series called Get Your Feet Wet. And we've been looking at Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And the title of today's message is That Your Final Answer? And we are going to look at Matthew 14, verses 28 and 29. We'll look at that a little bit. You might remember that on the first week, I showed you a video clip of the whole story. And maybe we'll get to it next week or the week after that. But what I want to do is I want to read it for you now. And Aaron will put the verses up there for you as I read it. And it goes like this. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, the main point of this sermon series is to face and deal with God's help, our fears that hold us back from taking the next steps with the Lord. And this morning, as I've already mentioned, I want to concentrate on verses 28 and 29. And Aaron's going to put them up there again for you to follow along. And it reads like this. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now, this is the fourth week in this series. And so far, we have learned that Jesus calls us to get out of our boat, that is our place of security and comfort, in order to grow in our faith. The second thing is that fear is a big wall that we must overcome by faith and then trust in Christ. And then we've also learned that God, if we wait and intently look for Him, comes to us in the midst of our life storms and our life fears. So today, what I'd like for us to do is to think about this. Saying yes to God is risky business. But saying yes to God is also not a misguided calculation that creates unnecessary anxiety, but a confident trust in God's ability to help us get out of our own boats and onto the water and then move forward. Now, some of what we've been going through, I've been telling you about a book from John Ortberg. And he tells the story in this book of going to a dude ranch in Arizona at the insistence of his wife, who felt that the vacation just was not going to be complete without, as he puts in his own words, the exhilaration of a truly challenging horseback ride. The first time he went out on the ranch, he did so with no trouble, and he thought that he had mastered the art of riding a horse. However, the next day, he and five of the trail hands decided they were going to go out to pasture and take these horses 3 miles out on a pasture ride. And as he went to the stable to get his horse, he thought about the name of the horse. Would it be Stout or King or maybe Knight? No. The name of his horse was called Reverse. It was called reverse because the horse had the habit of going in reverse anytime you pulled on the reins. The trip out to the pasture was uneventful, but the trip back to the stable, it was not. One of the hands decided to start a race back to the ranch. And here are Ortberg's own words telling the rest of his story. His, meaning one of the five ranch hands, horse took off at full gallop, and the other four immediately started racing to catch up with him. Reverse started to make his move. Instinctively, I pulled on the reins as hard as I could. Reverse rose up on his hind legs and took a few steps backwards, just like Silver used to do under the Lone Ranger. And then he took off like a bat out of a cannon. For the better part of a mile, Reverse ran a dead heat. The word dead sticks in his mind. We were not sauntering or trotting. This was an all-out sprinting, as in a scene from a movie. Reverse and I passed four of them. I say Reverse and I, but the truth is, he was doing all the work. I was waiting to die. Exodus 15:1 came to mind. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. And that is how John Ortberg told the story in the book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. He then goes on to say that he realizes he's going to make it safely back to the ranch. And he begins to enjoy this horseback ride that he has. Ortberg goes on to reflect on his wild and exhilarating ride. And he makes this observation. My only choice had been to say yes or no to the ride. I had to decide whether I had enough faith to ride the horse. When I mounted that horse, I did not have a clue as to what was going to happen to me. Once I took a single step, once I got into the saddle, a whole world of experience was set into motion. Everything else was up to the horse. I could not control it, but I could have missed it. Years ago, just after Lisa and I first got married, I was working for a company that owned Sizzler, Shakey's, and Taco Bell on Guam. And the guy who was the manager of Sizzler's, his name was Frank Ohner. And he had a pilot's license. And he and I were friends. And he asked if I was interested in going on a plane ride with him. And so I said yes, and we made the plans. And on Saturday morning, he and I met at Naval Air Station Field and the private part of the field. And they pulled this plane out. And you can actually pull it out by hand. They pull this plane out. It's a little plane, has one propeller in the front, two seats in there, and then one seat in the back, a little three-seater. I had to make this decision. Do I trust this man enough to open the door and to climb into this airplane and to put my life into his hands and fly around the island? Well, I did. And I got in the plane, and we proceeded to take off, and we flew around, and we flew over Talofofo Falls. Some of you might remember it from a few weeks ago when I showed the pictures. And I was able to see Talofofo Falls and Talofofo Bay from the air. We flew over Apra Harbor, and I got to see the green from all the greenery in there, the bushes, and I got to see all the different houses and the blue out in the ocean. It was a great ride, but I could have missed it. Not long after that took place, Lisa and I were asked if we would be willing to move to Vallejo, California and become youth leaders of a youth group there. We had a choice to make. Were we willing to leave our friends and our family behind? Were we willing to pack up all of our stuff or sell all of our stuff and move to the United States? You see, Lisa and I, at that point in time, we had a decision to make. Our decision was to move. We made this decision to move to the States. Once we made that decision and the things were set into motion, we could not always control what was taking place. But if we had not made that decision back in 1988, I could have missed out on all kinds of things, even being here in front of you right now. See, John Ortberg's decision to mount the horse and ride was his final decision. Me hopping in that plane and going on the ride, that was my final decision. Lisa and I, selling everything we have, we're packing it up and getting on that plane and flying to Vallejo, California, where we only knew one family. That was our final decision. And likewise, Peter had to make a decision when Jesus said to him, "Come." In each of those cases, fear was either going to be listened to and obeyed, or it was going to be stared down on and trampled over. Therefore, when it comes to making a get out of the boat decision, our final answer is our choice of believing, trusting, and then acting on that belief and trust or not. Moments come when we have to decide whether God is to be trusted or not, and then act accordingly. For Peter, it was after Jesus said, "Come." You see, faith, it requires action. Faith requires us to have moments when our feet are going to get wet. Now, speaking of getting your feet wet, let's go back in time. Let's go back to the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. This is where the Israelites are now on the side of the Jordan River, and they're crossing the Jordan River to go into the Promised Land. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground. The oldest members of this group had waited for this particular moment for over 40 years. They were about to take possession of some new property that had been promised to them a long, long time. But wait, the river is overflowing. How are the kids going to get across? We've never done it like that before. How are we going to stay together as a family if we get over there? My sandals are going to get wet. Will we find the rest of our group once we get there? Are we sure that's where we're supposed to be going? I can't swim well. I might drown. You see, fear, worry, anxiety, they pop up at the slightest bump in the road, don't they? The fear of the unknown is sometimes like a big wave that is ready to sweep us under. And we just aren't sure if we are going to ride it out. We often want that dry ground or that rock bottom assurance before we take that first step in the direction that God wants us to go. We want to know that everything is going to work out perfectly. That is not what happened here. Someone's feet had to get wet, and then God acted. Now it was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks, but as soon as the feet of the priest who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water began piling upstream, and the water that flowed down to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was completely dry. Then all the people, they crossed over near the city of Jericho. The priests who were carrying the ark, they have these poles, they're carrying the ark. They stood on dry ground right in the middle of the riverbed. as all the people passed them by. They waited till everyone else had crossed the river on dry ground. Now, we don't like to get our feet wet. It is inconvenient and it's a nuisance. But to possess what God has for us to possess, we have to get out of our boat and get our feet wet sometimes. Because it is the only way that the Lord can help us to move forward. Faith requires action. It's not a passive thing. The Israelites, they had to believe that God would help them possess the promised land by taking the first step. And as they believed, and as they trusted that God would help them to get across, the dry ground appeared. There comes a point, many points, when we have to make a final decision, a final answer to go or no go. There comes a point, many points, when we have to make a final decision, a final answer. Believe or disbelieve. It was that way with the Israelites, and it was that way with Peter. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. You see, there was success for the Israelites. They made it safely across on dry riverbed. But not for Peter. The text continues to read, "But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. 'You don't have much faith,' Jesus said. 'Why did you doubt me?'" Now, we're going to talk more about that next week. But I presented it here, I brought it up now, to acknowledge that sometimes legitimate steps of faith don't always go right. You are doing exactly what God is calling you to do. You believe it wholeheartedly and you know it, and you are acting on that and you're taking the step. And things don't always go right. Things don't work out the way you thought they were going to. It is not necessarily the end of the world. Although at that point in time, it probably seems like it. So what does this mean for us today? Where are we at in our lives and in our history? Where are you feeling the pinch and pressure of your final answer? Is it at work, at school, at home? Maybe with finances, with a relationship, with a calling that God has been making for you to do something new or different. Maybe it's to go on a mission field. Maybe it's to be in a ministry somewhere. I suggest that our final answer will cause us to either get out of what Orpah calls our spiritual comfort zone and experience the exhilaration of an often wild ride with Christ that moves us forward. Saddle up your horses. We've got a trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace. Let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. This is a life like no other. This is the great adventure. Or we are going to stay in our boats and not experience the power and wonder of walking on the water with the Lord that will move us forward. You see, the final answer is our choice. It is your choice and it is my choice. The question is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Are you having to give a final answer to God in some area of your life? And you want to make sure that you give him the right answer. The right answer that will allow you to move forward with him. Or are you still clinging tightly to the side of that boat or hanging on to the reins of a horse called uncertainty? and you're simply afraid to let go and let God have His way. Today, I would suggest that you let God have His way. Get out of the boat. Enjoy this ride. We're going to sing a song, Have Thine Own Way. And think about this. What is God calling you to do? Are you willing to get out of your boat and answer God?